Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The scriptures for this weekend speak to us about the importance of listening. Now, listening helps us to be successful in all aspects of life, whether it's in our job or our career, whether it's in relationships, or even in the spiritual life, listening to the Word of God and then acting upon it. A few days before my ordination, the bishop invited me, as well as my classmates, to have a dinner with him. And throughout the dinner, he explained the ritual of ordination and its history, and then he spoke about the vows that we had to take, especially the vow of obedience. And he thought that was always misunderstood. And he said, you know, the vow of obedience, you know, doesn't say that, you know, you have to do exactly what I say, when I say it, and how I say it. And there is no disagreement. He said, no, it's not that at all. In fact, obedience comes from the Latin word, obediere, which means to listen. So he said, when you take that vow of obedience, you're promising God that you will always listen to his voice and his word and then act upon it. Well, I think that speaks volumes for that first reading as well as the gospel. Now turn to that first reading from Acts of the Apostles. Essentially, we're going to be listening to that again in a few weeks because it's the reading of Pentecost. Essentially, the apostles just received the gift or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and now they burst out of that upper room and they go out into the streets of Jerusalem and start boldly proclaiming and evangelizing. Now, we hear from Peter as he gives us this evangelical preaching. Now, what I find so interesting is Peter never was trained, you know, in public speaking, and he was never trained to write speeches. In fact, Peter is illiterate. He can't read or write. In fact, scholars believe that St. Mark was his close companion, even his secretary. Mark would essentially write letters that Peter would want to send to people, or Mark would read letters that were addressed to Peter. In fact, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, Mark never even met Jesus Christ. So how could he write a gospel with such intimate detail about Jesus, his preaching, teaching, his passion, death, and resurrection? Well, some scholars believe, essentially, Peter told Mark everything that he knew about Jesus, and Mark simply wrote it all down. Now, getting back to that first reading, Peter, he makes this bold proclamation. Now, how did he get such strength? Well, through the gift and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first lesson that we can take from these scripture readings. If we surrender to the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles did, you have no idea what you're capable of doing in this world on behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter says, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain this Jesus Christ whom you crucified." Well, essentially, what Peter is saying is a very specific and direct message. God came into this world. The world rejected God. The world killed God. And so realize, too, Peter, he's in Jerusalem preaching, you know, in the streets to a predominantly Jewish people. So he's telling the people, you know, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah that we waited hundreds and hundreds of years for, the Messiah that the prophets of the Old Testament foresaw for ages on end, he came, and it's Jesus Christ, and you killed him. Now, notice what it says next. It says, the people heard and they were cut to the heart. Well, that's the most lethal cut. The heart, we know, is the most vital organ in our body, which means what? They were shaken to the core. Now, they heard the word of God preached to them through the power of Peter. And they were shaken to the very core of who they were. Now, next, they ask, what do we do? Here's another lesson that we can take from this. We can't intellectualize our faith. We can't just simply read a book about Catholicism or listen to a lecture and then say, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and then continue with our same life. No, if our faith is at the heart of who we are, at the core of who we are, it demands that we're changing, always changing into that image and likeness that we were created in. Stop and think. Every time you come to Mass, you receive God's grace. Every time you pray, you live out the virtuous life, you're receiving God's grace all the time. Well, if you cooperate with that grace, yes, you are changing always into that image and likeness we're created in. Now, Peter's response to the people, he says, repent. Boy, that sounds familiar. That's the first thing that Jesus said when he began his public ministry. That's also the message that John the Baptist had for the people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Now, stop and think. Here you have Jesus, the Son of God, saying repent. John the Baptist, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, saying repent. And now you have Peter, the leader of our church and the first pope, saying the same thing, repent. Well, I don't know about you, but that makes me sit up and take notice. We better do exactly what they're telling us. Repent means what? Change. It means realign your entire life. Realign your heart, mind, and soul, your will, and your intellect. Realign it to the will of God. See, then you become the person that God created or intended to be, not the person that the world tells you to be. Now, notice in this reading, the people, they heard the power of the word of God, and then they responded to it. That's a great segue into the gospel. Jesus talks about the same thing, and yet he uses the image of the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus says, you know, the shepherd calls them by name, and he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. Now, don't fall for that temptation, the same temptation we all have, and that is to see God as this abstract figure out in the galaxy, you know, so far away from us. Now, he watches us from time to time. He observes what's going on in our life or in the world, but he really doesn't know us. You know, he doesn't really get involved in our life. He's just, you know, out there, you know, separated from us. Well, don't be duped by that temptation. Jesus tells us in the gospel that's not true. It's just the opposite. Our God is closely in our life. In fact, our God communicates with us directly. Before Jesus Christ came into this world, God communicated to the world through the Old Testament prophets as his spokesperson. Not anymore. Since Jesus now takes on our humanity, Jesus now communicates with us directly. We hear that voice. We're built for it. And there's a power associated with that voice. Go back to Genesis, the story of creation. You see and hear the power of God's voice created in this entire universe. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, you know, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And so God speaks, and there's a power associated with God's voice, and we feel it in the very depths of our soul. More to it, God knows us personally, intimately, each and every one of us. Turn to Psalm 139. You know, it says, Lord, you search me and you know me. You discern the thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it. See, that's how close God knows us. In fact, God knows us intimately better than we know ourselves. And so, yes, we hear that distinctive and powerful voice. As I mentioned, we are built for that. We are built to hear that voice because we're made intentionally in the image and likeness of God. So by our very nature, we are ordered to God and ordered to respond to that powerful voice. Now, notice what Jesus says. He says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, we hear that distinctive voice of God that resonates deep within us, but we also have to realize there are other voices in our life, the voices of the world, the voices of money, materialism, power, honor, ego, pride. All those things are calling out to us. Now, if we essentially start following those voices of the world, then yes, we will be robbed of the very life that God wants to give us and share with us. Now you say, okay, I get all this, but how do I hear that voice of God, the voice of the shepherd every day of my life? Well, coming to Mass every weekend. Mass is the greatest way in which we will always hear the voice of our shepherd in the sacred scriptures, but also in the Eucharist. Remember what Thomas Aquinas once said, only in the Eucharist is ipso Christo, Christ himself present. And so we recognize every time we come to Mass, we have a concrete encounter with our shepherd. Next, another way to hear that voice every day, well, pray. We have to always be people of prayer, praying every day several times a day, and not just when we feel like it or when it's convenient or when things are going our way. No, we have to continue to pray, especially during those challenges, in those dark times in which we feel a dryness to our prayer. We have to keep praying. Prayer opens up the window of our soul so God can connect to us. Another way, lifelong faith formation, is how we can hear that voice of our shepherd. Whether we're 8 years old or 80 years old, we should never stop growing in the knowledge of our faith. As I've said many times, faith won't grow if you don't want to know. And so study aspects of our church. You know, art, music, architecture, the scriptures, the lives of saints. It's the best way to hear that voice again. And so the scriptures are very succinct and to the point. They talk about the importance of listening. Listening to the voice of our shepherd and always responding to it. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.